This is the What Now Podcast.
That's where we start with this idea of becoming less judgmental about our bodies. We just start with this overwhelming awe and gratitude, this amazing machinery that houses our spirits. And I think when we start looking at it that way, thinking about the intricacies and the complicated systems within our body, when we go much deeper than just looking in the mirror and being dissatisfied with the aesthetic part of our body, it just really helps us develop a gratitude and sense of awe that moves and shifts our relationship with our body into a place where we can be more neutral to how we look and more grateful for how we can function and the things that we can do and accomplish and how we can serve and give others and fulfill our own potential.
This is the What Now Podcast, where we discuss the culture and beliefs in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in an honest and faithful way in an effort to encourage, uplift, and inspire. I am Mary Alice Hatch, your host. Join me as I speak with metabolic life coach and endurance athlete Sherry Samulin as she shares her top five healthy habits to help us maximize our mental, physical, and spiritual well-being. Sherry also shares how we can reframe how we look at our bodies to move forward with confidence. Today, I am here with Sherry Samulin. Welcome.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. I'm so happy to have you on the podcast today. Thanks for making the time.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, before we get started, I'd really like to just invite you to share a little bit about yourself so listeners can get to know you better.
Of course, of course. My name is Sherry Samulin. I live with my husband in Laguna Beach. We just celebrated our 36th wedding anniversary, which is a big milestone. We have four amazing adult children who live in various parts of the world at this point. And we have a great son-in-law and daughter-in-law who we love dearly. And all of those adults are finding their way through life in their own different way. And that's exciting to watch them grow and develop into adults. I graduated from BYU way back when in health promotions, which was my passion. My dad was really trying to direct me into a business path, and I finally called him one day and said, "This is never going to work. I need to find something else." I went into the career center and they asked me what I love to do, and I said, "I love to work out and I love to run and I love to play tennis." And they said, "Great, we have this great major called health promotions. You're gonna love it." And I quickly caught my stride at BYU and loved all the classes I took and to earn my degree there. And after college, I got heavily involved into triathlons and endurance events and have been dabbling in that in just a very amateur way, a middle of the road age group participant in a lot of endurance events, and have always loved health and fitness and been really drawn to that. So that's kind of where I landed. And as my children grew and we're leaving home, I was able to spend a little bit more time diving into that kind of world. And just a few years ago, founded my business, Simple Health Style, which is a metabolic health coaching program. I certified as a master health coach through Primal Health Coach Institute, which is a really rigorous program for health coaching. And have just loved kind of slowly picking away at building this business, talking to people who need some help and guidance and in an area that I love to talk about. And so it's been a really exciting ride for me to kind of slowly learn and grow and develop some of these skills that I've needed to move my business forward and talk about health, which is one of the things that I'm really passionate about.
Well, good, because that's what we're talking about today. And I love that you advocated for yourself with your father. He had the business path and you said, "Nope, that's not the path."
Yeah, exactly. I think we were all coming to that realization pretty quickly, but it was nice to go into that career center. They gave me an aptitude test and they were like, "Okay, you're a perfect fit for this new program." And then it was really a seamless a ride after that. So that was a happy ending to my BYU career.
And you've continued going forward with it even after having children, which is great.
Yeah.
I mean, I think body image is a really important topic to talk about. And as Latter-day Saints, how can we better care for the gift of our body that we've been given by Heavenly Father and view our bodies with less judgment? I feel like we're so judgmental of our bodies, especially as we're getting older and things get looser and flabbier. And
definitely things shift a bit and different things we're having to deal with and changes and adaptations. I referenced this talk by President Nelson, who was then Elder Nelson, in the late 80s, The Magnificence of Man. And I remember distinctly hearing this talk and just falling in love with President Nelson as he was describing from his medical perspective just the magnificence of our bodies, our human bodies. And I remember just that resonating with me so deeply and just being so inspired and so grateful for a physical body, even though it's imperfect and maybe doesn't look exactly like I want it to look. And so that has always been kind of this undercurrent of my sense of gratitude. And I think that's where we start with this idea of becoming less judgmental about our bodies, that we just start with this overwhelming awe and gratitude for these this amazing machinery that houses our spirits. And I think when we start looking at it that way and thinking about just the intricacies and the complicated systems within our body, when we go much deeper than just looking in the mirror and being dissatisfied with the aesthetic part of our body, it just really helps us develop a gratitude and sense of awe that moves and shifts our relationship with our body into a place where we can be more neutral about how we look and more grateful for how we can function and the things that we can do and accomplish and how we can serve and give others and fulfill our own potential in other ways.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I feel like many women in our church culture are super healthy, but then there are a lot who have neglected their health while they've raised their families. You know, they felt like maybe it's selfish to pursue fitness and health goals or to spend time and money on themselves. And why is it so important to invest in self-care?
I love this question because what I encounter a lot in my work is women who are kind of moving into the second chapter of their life, and they have been so focused, and rightfully so, on the health of their family, and they're really great about making orthodontist appointments and doctor's appointments and getting all of the things taken care of for others, but they suddenly find themselves in a situation where they have a really negative view of their own body, and in addition, and even more importantly, they've neglected their own health while they've been in the trenches, you know, raising kids. And these kinds of things, the things that we worry about, and the disease processes and the chronic illnesses that we worry about, they start early on. They don't just happen when you're 50 or 60. They start brewing long before that. These things like insulin resistance or even cancers and heart disease and hypertension, these things, and bone density and these kinds of things that become problems as we age, they start early on. And so if we can start understanding that this isn't something that just happens when you go to the doctor and you're 55 and you have a checkup and they finally tell you you have osteoporosis or heart disease or one of these other ailments, that these are things that we need to address earlier, and they need to be part of our family culture, where mom takes care of herself as well and her needs are met physically, and there is time and balance to have rest and restore and physical fitness and healthy nutrition and all of the things that will continue to keep us healthy as we age. It just doesn't happen at a certain age on a certain birthday. These things start brewing way in advance, and I wish and hope that the messaging is more current, that of course a 30-year-old woman isn't thinking about her bone density. She doesn't start thinking about it until she's 50 and they finally tell her that she needs to address this. But I think the more we can normalize taking care of ourselves in addition as we care for others, the healthier we will be going forward.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I mean, I hear you saying like habits, you have to develop habits early on instead of just like the crisis midlife.
Right.
It's developing healthy habits. Like what are some good healthy habits to develop younger before you get to this, you know, middle-aged life where you have osteoporosis and heart disease?
Such a great question, because I think this is one of the drawbacks of the wealth of information we have right now in the fitness and health industry and wellness industry. It's awesome. We have so much information. There's so much at our disposal, but also it can become really bewildering and overwhelming, and people start assuming that they need to be taking every supplement and doing cold plunges and worrying about these things are kind of on the fringe. And I like to distill this down into my highest five. This is kind of my protocol that I've developed based on who I serve, people with metabolic issues. But here's my highest five. Can I just give you my high five habits?
Yes.
I'm a big pusher of protein. I number one would be prioritize protein. As we age, especially our body utilizes and synthesizes, has a more difficult time synthesizing protein. And so we actually need more protein as we age. And so prioritizing quality protein, complete proteins, is really essential. And getting protein at that first meal of the day is vital for our metabolic health so that our insulin and blood sugar aren't out of control all day long. The second thing I always tell people is that human beings are not grazers. We are not meant to be grazing and snacking and picking all day long. So my second thing would be respond to real hunger with a real meal. And both of these things, all of these steps actually have a lot of side effects that by eliminating snacking, we're also, and responding with a meal, we're also probably going to crowd out some of those foods that are in packages and highly sugar and lots of processed carbohydrates. And so the side effect of answering and responding to hunger with a real meal is that some of these things are just going to go by the wayside. The third thing I always tell people is that to focus more on moving more in non-exercise ways. And this means, you know, we always jump to exercise and we want to exercise, and it seems like people get eager to lose weight. And so the first thing they do is go, you know, hit the elliptical or the treadmill or something. But moving more in non-exercise ways is actually a really important part to avoid sitting for long periods of time. Science has shown and research has shown over and over again that people who just move a lot throughout the day, they get up, they go for a walk, they go do the stairs, they do the laundry, they garden, they just find a way to move throughout the day rather than sitting for long periods of time, have a much more healthy outcome than those who exercise really hard and then sit on the couch all day. So that would be number three. My fourth thing in my highest five is sleep, and sleep is getting a lot more attention now, as it should, but the effects of being sleep deprived are not just mental. They are definitely can impact your health in really serious ways, including even your weight. Your body metabolizes carbohydrates different when you don't have sufficient sleep. Your insulin responds differently when you're sleep deprived. So these things are super important, and sleep is a very big part of that. And the fifth thing that I like to throw in there, which is a little, people usually, it seems like it's a big obstacle for people, but the more I'm understanding about the human body, the more I am insisting that building muscle and lifting heavy things is very important. It's important for metabolic health. Your muscles are the largest endocrine organ in your body. And when you have healthy muscle tissue, and this doesn't mean that you need to be a bodybuilder or that you are going to be ripped or going, you know, in that kind of look, but having quality muscle is a place for your your metabolism to thrive. It's important for immune health. There's mitochondrial health, and quality of life and bone density. These things are all impacted by the amount of muscle you have. Our culture has really focused on obesity and losing weight. And I like to reverse things and flip them around and say, let's put that on the back burner and really focus on building muscle. And that, again, has a lot of downstream effects. When you focus on building, you get out of this diet culture restrictive mentality. And instead, you're building strength. It's like this positive momentum that's built, rather than feeling like you have to eat less and do less and have fewer things and be in this restrictive mindset. It's a much more positive avenue mentally and physically. There are just numerous benefits to building muscle. So those are my high five. I have two quick little bonuses that I would throw in. And one would be to watch the sunset and the sunrise and the sunset as many days as possible. And this has a lot to do with circadian rhythm, and we don't have the time to go into circadian rhythm and that the importance of circadian rhythm, but the spectrum of light that you can view in the morning and in the evening is unique and sets up our circadian rhythm for balance and good sleep and good digestion and all kinds of things that are super important. And the number seven is my final little thing, is that I always tell people to get curious. Get curious about your own body and the way it works. If you have symptoms, let's try to connect the dots. And if you wake up feeling bloated or headachy or something, rather than just taking some Advil or, whatever over-the-counter medication you might take, ask some questions. I wonder why I'm feeling like this. What did I eat? What did I do? What was my life like yesterday? And then also to just get curious and ask doctors really deep questions. Don't leave those doctor's appointment with a prescription that you don't understand why you're taking it or what problem it's solving. So getting curious about our own bodies, I think, is a really important habit and skill to develop.
That's so true. You listed so many important things there. I like the idea of moving around, like, because I think most people are in the mindset I kind of am. Like, I'll work out and then, I'll sit and work for a while, or I'm sitting a lot. Mm-hmm. But getting up and moving and like doing laundry, whatever that looks like, gardening, picking something up, and just moving your body. That's a really good point.
Yeah, it really is. This is a deeper conversation than we have time for here, but it has to do with your basal metabolic rate. And we all have this kind of set rate that we would just have if we were to do nothing. But that rate can really fluctuate. It can actually decrease if we're exercising too heavily and too much. But what keeps it at a healthy rate is that actual kind of non-exercise movement throughout the day. And so to break up long periods of time of sitting with movement, and it doesn't have to be anything grandiose. It can be walking around the block or taking the stairs or throwing in the laundry or, doing a lap around your office or something like that. Just breaking up those long periods of sitting is really, really vital and goes a long way. So much more than it's very underrated, I think, in the health community. So
mm-hmm. I feel like food is such a contributor. I notice a distinct difference in my mental clarity and physical energy based on what I eat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every cell in our body has a responsibility, and each of those cells has to be nourished. And things are either, I like to talk about food because I like to stay kind of neutral, and it's not to try to remove some of the shame or guilt around food. Sometimes that if we are working to improve our health habits, we get into this like shame and guilt spiral about things that we eat. But I like to talk about food in response to supportive or unsupportive. And there are definitely foods that support our mental health, and there are foods that do not. And occasionally we're going to indulge in foods that don't support our mental health and that maybe bring on some anxiety or some restlessness or some irritability. And of course, that's probably a common knowledge that sugar and refined carbohydrates and processed foods and a lot of these seed oils that are in packaged foods, those things are being, the evidence is piling up that those things directly impact our mental health. And the reverse is true as well, that when our cells are properly nourished with protein, with vegetables, with photonutrients that come from whole foods, with animal proteins and healthy vegetables and fruits in season and these types of things, that all of the cells work better, that our hormones respond better, our neurotransmitters that control our mental state, these things all respond much better. I'll go back and harp on my strength training, because I'm always trying to beat this drum about strength training, but I wanted to mention, in regards to mental health, that there's a really amazing, there's research coming out now that really is speaking to mental health and the importance, of course, nutrition, which is the topic here, but also what they are finding is that, when you contract your muscles in a deliberate way, meaning that you're doing some lifting or something, or squatting or body weights or some sort of movement that you're contracting your muscles deliberately, your body releases these molecules called myokines. And these myokines have a protective effect on depression and anxiety. And they're actually calling these molecules hope molecules because of their amazing impact on neurotransmitters and health and mental health. And I just love that we can, and this doesn't mean that it's going to resolve all mental health issues, obviously, but it can help. And even those who are needing to be on medication for different things, all that will just, taking these steps to nourish the cells and contract the muscles will just work in conjunction with those medications that you might need to be on. And so I love that we have so much ability to control some of these things and that they are in our hands. And we have much more say in our health outcome than we actually give ourselves credit for. And we can take these steps to improve our own health. And I really love that the ball is in our court, so to speak, mm-hmm. in so many ways.
Yeah, we have the control to make those decisions for ourselves. I feel like in the church, we have this wonderful code of health, the word of wisdom. And how is the word of wisdom more than just a checklist of do's and don'ts, more than just not drinking, you know, tea and coffee, alcohol, smoking? It's really a code of health to avoid any harmful substances or excessive behaviors that can harm our bodies.
Yeah, I love how you put that. I have been so impressed over the past, I don't know how many years, that we've started talking about things in the gospel in this, we've heard the term higher, holier way. And I talk about this a little bit in terms of, you know, the old way of doing things was visiting, teaching, and the new way is ministering. And I think it was Elder Gong who said, if you're doing less as a ministering sister than you were as a visiting teacher, then you're not doing it right. And I think of the word of wisdom in the same vein, in that, yes, we can check all the boxes. We don't smoke or drink. We aren't drinking, or drinking tea or coffee. And that's kind of the basics. But when you really look at it, like you said, that it's this code of health to care for our bodies. It's not just a checklist. It's going above and beyond. And I think a higher, holier way to apply and let the word of wisdom sink deep into our hearts would be to really like embrace caring for our bodies on every level, and that it would trickle into more of our life, that it's a very integral part of how we live, is that and we become known for that, and that we become known for people who really value and protect their health and take great care of their physical bodies, these gifts that have been given to us by a loving Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm. I like how you said that, and it is a gift. I feel like, you know, if we're not careful, It can affect what we put in our bodies, can affect our mental, our physical, our emotional health, and our spiritual health.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It can really, I think we can, going back to kind of self-care and things like that, it's another way to approach self-care where we're not just caring for ourselves, but as we care for ourselves in our own mental, physical, and emotional state and spiritual state, we are able to better serve and lift and reach our potential spiritually that our Heavenly Father intends us in ways that our Heavenly Father intends us to reach.
Mm-hmm. I do. I feel like we can operate at maximum capacity when we're really, really aware of it. You know, like, I mean, we don't drink coffee and tea, but we drink Red Bull, Monster, and Rockstar.
Right.
Which are also, mm-hmm. they're not on the Word of Wisdom list, but they're probably not the healthiest thing to be putting in our bodies. So we have to be mindful, right, of what we're putting in our bodies so we can operate at the best level possible.
Yeah. Yeah. I love how you said that. That's so accurate. And that's what I mean by a higher, holier way. You know, when we're engaging in things that are and partaking of things. And I like to be very neutral. There's no, it's supportive or unsupportive. And at times we're going to make that choice that I'm going to have that thing that I know isn't physically the best thing for me, but maybe it is the supportive thing in this moment because of the what's going on. And food is much more than fuel, you know, in the fitness industry, we kind of get thinking of it that way, but food is also socialization and gathering and celebration and tradition. And there's food is associated with all kinds of things. And so we don't want to villainize things, but there's obviously things that we should avoid completely, like the things that you just spoke about and taking the Word of Wisdom and expanding it to what it's intended. The intention is to really respect and care for your body at those higher levels, I think. And that to me speaks to me, instead of just kind of being a checklist of the things that are listed out as the do's and don'ts. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. I want to kind of go back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier about how we can kind of separate our worth as women from the way we look, to who we really are. Right? We have this sacred body. It's amazing. And we can do a lot of important things with this body if we look at it in the right framework.
Yeah. This is one of the things that's been troubling to me as I've discovered in my one-on-one coaching with women, you know, who are in their 50s and 60s and are really unhappy with the way their physical body looks. And I keep kind of referencing this neutrality in body image. And I know there's kind of a popular narrative right now too about body positivity, which is great. I personally would like to see us be body neutral, about ourselves and about others. And I kind of have this mindset shift that I walk people through, that just kind of is a progressive step by step to really go from saying to yourself, looking in the mirror and looking and saying, I hate how my body looks. And the next step would be, I see my body in the mirror. And the next step would be, we're just kind of making these little shifts. Instead of, I have this negative feeling about my body, it would be shifted to, I see my body. And then it would be shifted to, I see my body in the mirror and it has done so much for me and it's such a great gift. And then moving even farther to the spectrum of positive image would be, I see my body and I'm so thankful for what it's done for me and what it is doing for others. And just to kind of get into that neutral zone, and this kind of applies to, and I think one of the first steps of doing this is sometimes we want to focus on how we feel about our bodies. But when we put on lenses and start looking at other people's bodies in a very neutral way, it really helps reframe the way we see our own bodies as well. And I almost think that that's an easier place to start instead of looking at people. We're such a comparison driven culture, and probably women more than men, but I don't know that for sure. But I think when we look at other people, we just see this thing, we see an aesthetic, and we maybe admire it, or we want it, or we think about that being a good thing and the culturally accepted thing. But if we start looking at other women, rather than looking at their bodies and really feeling like I'm looking at their worth, I'm looking at the characteristics that she has, I'm looking at her, the behaviors and the other things that I love about this person, rather than just focusing on how she looks, I think it's easier for us to start looking at ourselves in those more neutral tones too. And I kind of feel like in my experience, there's no science to back this up, but I feel like when we just put on those different lenses and we look at each other with this sense of worth and value and appreciation for what other people are accomplishing, or how they deal with their children, or how they love each other or serve each other, and just leave the physical attributes out when we view other people, we can slowly put those lenses on ourselves as well. And it just becomes a much less comparative kind of narrative. And we're able to just like let it all go and don't worry about it. And we all have bodies and they're all flawlessly designed, but also very imperfect. And let's just embrace that. And it's okay. And I think maybe that's easier as we get older, or maybe it's more difficult. I'm not sure. But I just really like this idea of being body neutral. For ourselves and for others, and just really seeing our intrinsic worth because of who we are as children of Heavenly Father and Heavenly parents who love us.
I love that. Really looking at it through a different lens is an interesting perspective, because then you're, instead of focusing on just the physical body, you're focusing on the attributes of that person. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really interesting. They say the eyes are the windows of the soul. And it's really been interesting, like working in the temple, you're looking at people a lot, initiatory and different things like that. And you're really looking into their heart and soul and the goodness and purity in them. It's really a beautiful thing, honestly.
Oh, I love that too. I think in the temple, right, is like, it is the great equalizer. And I love that we're all dressed in a similar way, and we're all doing the same things and trying to make the same covenants and keep the same covenants. And you're right. I mean, tying it into our worth and just that, as holding the temple as kind of the ideal, where we're looking into the hearts and souls. And that's part of the reason we dress the same, so that we aren't focused on the outward appearance. And yeah, that's really a great point you're making.
It's interesting, when people come into the temple, they're all different shapes, sizes, ethnicities, everything. And it's interesting how you get into that framework there, that mental focus of looking at the person as a person, and their physical attributes don't even register with me. I'm just looking at the goodness of them, the service they're doing. I can feel the goodness of their spirits.
Yeah, that is so true. You and I work on the same shift, and you know, and many people understand that I have a son with some unique needs, and he participates there as a temple worker. And you're right. It just like, there's nothing that shines a light on people's worth and like puts on the back burner limitations or inadequacies or anything else, like being in the temple. It's just that place where we can all just shine as and be valued and show our worth and have others see our worth and our contributions in a really meaningful way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know, we just need to take that viewpoint and bring it outside the temple.
Right. I guess that's the ideal.
That's the ideal. Well, I want to shift gears a little bit, because you started a business at 53 where you help women lead a healthier life. I mean, how did you get the confidence to move forward with this new career change in your life after your kids were grown?
Well, I think the biggest thing is I just started. I definitely sought a lot of inspiration. I knew that I was going to be heading into this chapter of life where I was going to have kind of a shift. And I was quite nervous about that. And, you know, I've been very engrossed in raising a family, like many of us are. And all of a sudden, I thought, what am I going to do? I knew I my family dynamics, I knew I wasn't going to have a boatload of grandchildren right off the bat. And so I really was, Heavenly Father, what should I be spending my time doing? And I really, really tried to connect and ask him, like, I feel like I have this aptitude and these gifts and I want to share them, but I want to be doing something meaningful. And so I really felt prompted and inspired to start my business. And I think I the biggest thing is that I just had to really dive into the unknown and just not worry about the outcome. I really started thinking, I don't know where this is going to lead. I don't know if this is going to be, you know, go gangbusters and I'm going to have this booming business, or if I'm just going to learn things that I love and be immersed in a field that I love. And I just went one step by step. I didn't worry about the outcome. I really didn't worry about the outcome. I just tried to embrace every new opportunity to learn something new, whether that was learning how to build a website or produce my, you know, create my program or send out a mass email through MailChimp or any of these kinds of little things that I had to learn. I had to just really kind of set aside my limiting beliefs and just say, you know what, I'm just going to learn as I go and figure it out. And I have found that that's been one of the most rewarding things about my business, is just the little hurdles I've been able to overcome and obstacles I've been able to overcome. And I will say I am so thankful that I have. I this is definitely a happy little health coaching practice. It is not, you know, this big major career path. I have loved it. I wanted, if I have a second, I just want to share one little anecdote that happened. I ran into the daughter of one of my clients in the Pocatello, Idaho temple of all places. First time I'd ever been there. And this young woman in her 30s just gave me the biggest hug and just teared up. And she said, you know, my mom, I worked with her mom about a year previously. And she said, my mom was on a path that she was she was unhealthy. She was worried about her health. She had really, a lot of the joy was kind of taken out of her life because she wasn't walking. She wasn't moving. She was just really kind of, she wasn't happy with her body. Her blood work was wonky. And this young girl just like embraced me and just said, you know what, you just have done so much for good for my mom. And it was such a pivotal moment for me that I thought, here I am just like plugging along in my little practice, wondering, you know, how much impact I'm having. But if that was all that came out of me kind of trying to jump through some of these hoops that have been difficult and out of my comfort zone, I was just like, this is awesome. I was so thrilled and so thankful that I had been inspired and had the courage to kind of move forward and do my little thing. And it hasn't been anything big and grandiose. And it isn't, you know, exactly how I want it. Still, I'm hoping to still move things forward. But I just was so thankful that I had the opportunity to impact just even one person. And I've had others who've had great success too. But this was really a tender moment for me to have not only my client, but a family member really say, gosh, what you're doing matters. And that really was helpful.
Yeah, that is powerful. I mean, just if you can help one person, it's like Christ, right? I mean, you help one person transform their lives. It's meaningful. It's important. And I love that you acted on promptings you were getting, because I think that's how it works. I mean, that's how it works with me in this podcast and other things I've gotten involved in. I get these impressions, strong impressions. And then the important part is to work through the imposter syndrome or the fear that we can feel and think, well, who am I to do that? You know, right, there are people way better at that than I am. You know, that back to that comparison is the thief of joy, you know.
Yeah.
And to not be afraid. And I like that you were prayerful about it. You know, I'm sure you probably went to the temple about it, and you start getting these impressions, and those have got to be from the Lord. Anything good that blesses people's lives, it's got to be from the Lord, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he gives us these gifts and these kind of inklings and urges to create things and step out and do things. And I think it's our responsibility almost and a duty for us to get out of our comfort zone. I know one of your guests talked about leaving the harbor, and I thought, oh, I love that analogy because it's true. I mean, we can be safe in the harbor, but we also need to be a ship that sails out and tries new things and, you know, conquers those rough seas that are definitely going to come when you, when you try something new. But I think being able to let go of the outcome too, and you know, right now there's so many polished, accomplished things out there that we see every day because of social media, and we see all these things that have very, very broad reach and are scaled to the max. And so it might be a little intimidating to try, you know, throw our little contribution in, but I would say that's just as meaningful as the big polished things that are going on too. And every little thing that we can do to reach our potential is important. It all matters.
It totally does. And I think we have this beautiful community for men and women with Elders Quorum Release Society, where we can build and lift each other. And I feel like specifically with what we're talking about here, as sisters in the gospel, how can we lift and support each other better as we try to grow and develop ourselves?
I love this question because I'm such an advocate for just supporting women in general. And this kind of goes back to that comparing and judging mindset, where I think when we just provide each other a safe place to land, I think a lot of times people don't try things because they do have that imposter syndrome, and they think about it themselves, like they have their own self-doubts. But the next thing they think of is, well, what is so-and-so going to think of me? Especially being in like the health and fitness and wellness industry, I'm in a very vulnerable place to be a 58-year-old woman talking about strength training and health and nutrition. And I'm constantly feeling like, I wonder if I'm lean enough or fit enough or young enough. And if I have to also worry about what other women are thinking in that regard, especially the women who I know and love or go to church with, that is really going to hold me back. And so I try really hard to talk about how strong women lift each other, and men, of course, but I talk primarily to women, but that we don't need to judge and compare and belittle and criticize and wonder. But when someone's stepping out, just give them kudos for trying that thing and taking that leap. And it doesn't matter whether it's quilting or a language or flowers or whatever, starting a business or a podcast. But I think when we really don't hesitate to encourage and don't hold back those compliments and those words of encouragement and those words of praise from our sisters, I think when we are generous with those thoughts and feelings, it just gives the little boost you need to kind of nudge. We can nudge each other into these places of growth and development. And I think we all need that. We all really, it's scary to try new things. And I think with that in mind, that we're all doing hard, scary things, and let's just never suppress a compliment or generous thought or word of encouragement. Those words go a long ways when you're stepping out of your comfort zone and you have a sister in your ward say, I really liked your little health tip. And I think, okay, I'm doing some good here. So I'm going to keep plugging along. So I think that's an important place to start.
Yeah, those little comments do make a big difference. It is validating because there is a level of insecurity when you're trying something new, especially when you're older and you're used to kind of having the program down, you know?
Right, exactly. You're used to being really good at everything and you know how to do that. And I guess I would say that too really quick is that one of the big things I think that's important as adults is that we embrace a beginner's mindset. It's okay not to know what we're doing. We think we know what we're doing because as adults, we have everything figured out. And then you try something new and it feels really uncomfortable and you're not good at it and you're starting all over. And that's a scary place to be. But to have a beginner mindset and say, well, I don't know how to do this yet, but I'm going to figure it out. And that's a really important place to start anything, any kind of new skill.
Yeah, I like that you use the word yet.
Right.
I haven't figured this out yet. Not like I can't figure this out. It's very different.
Right, exactly.
So I love this mindset that if we knew we couldn't fail, then what would we do? And that can help us figure out what we truly care about.
Yeah, I love talking about failure. Actually, it's really a great place to be because it's such a great learning tool. And I think when we get out of the disassociate our the word fail with a negative connotation, that we start thinking about failure as feedback and that we can fail forward, it really changes our perspective on what success is. I always tell people, you can't fail if you show up. And you're going to have lots of failures and setbacks no matter what you're working on. And if we kind of just use that those moments that we perceive as failures as learning tools and ways to adjust. And I consider that failing forward, and failing forward is success. So I love that, you know, you can just kind of let go of the outcome and just understand that failure is part of the process, but that we can just show up, and that in and of itself is success, and learn and grow from those setbacks that we encounter along the way.
Yeah, I like that idea of falling forward. Well, thank you so much. I loved everything we talked about today. I love the importance of our bodies. I love the health tips that you shared. I loved the stories we've talked about seeing people for their true worth and not just their bodies, and having kind of that really think celestial mindset. You know, our prophet was just talking about in conference, to look at ourselves with the way, you know, the Lord would look at us, and that we are capable of doing anything. Really, it's within our bandwidth. We just need to have the faith and courage to move forward with the Lord's help. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks, Mary Alice.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the What Now podcast. If you would like to learn more from Sherry Samulin, you can message her directly on Instagram at mysimplehealthstyle, or learn more at her website, simplehealthstyle.com. Please share this episode with family, friends, and anyone you think it might help. If you enjoyed the podcast, please take a minute to leave a positive rating and written review, which really allows these important messages to reach more people. If you're on Instagram, follow us at Podcast What Now for inspirational messages and highlights from our past and present episodes. We never say goodbye, we say what now. This has been a What Now podcast production.